Amen. Please be seated. Our gospel lesson this morning is taken from the gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 21, verses 1 through 11, where we find Matthew's account of our Lord's triumphal entry into Jerusalem at the commencement of Holy Week. Matthew chapter 21, beginning in verse 1. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them at once." This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, 'Behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden.'" The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowd said, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee." The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Let's look to our God once again in prayer. King of Israel, King of kings, as the Hebrews spread garments and branches before you, make us ready by your Spirit to lay at your feet all that we have and all that we are. And with hearts of adoration, thanksgiving, and love, to call unto you, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna in the highest," for the honor of God our Father. Through Jesus Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. We have heard it, read it, sung it, and prayed it on this Palm Sunday, as on every Palm Sunday, that wonderful word, Hosanna, which means save us. It's a word that is important to Christians, up there with words like hallelujah, which means praise the Lord, and Maranatha, which means come, Lord. It is a word packed with meaning and power. Let's unpack it a little this morning by considering Matthew's account of the triumphal entry under two headings. First, authority, and second, adoration. First, authority, Christ's authority. Palm Sunday is a day of declaring and celebrating the unique authority of Jesus Christ. And rightly so, because on that first Palm Sunday, he declared and demonstrated his unique authority. The reason the crowd went out to greet him as they did was because Jesus had just raised his friend Lazarus from the dead. He had shown himself to be the one who holds the keys of death and the grave. He had shown himself to have authority over all things. the authority to heal the sick, to still wind and wave, to defeat demons, to raise the dead, and forgive sins. And now his procession into Jerusalem reinforced his claim to unique authority. Jerusalem was esteemed by the Jews as the city of the great king. They were accustomed to singing Psalm 48, which begins, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in his holy mountain, beautiful in elevation, is the joy of all the earth, Mount Zion in the far north, the city of the great king." Jesus' instructions to his disciples to bring a donkey and her colt to him, telling their owner, "The Lord needs them," further demonstrated his lordship over all things. And his subsequent procession signified his claim to kingship. As we heard in our call to worship from Zechariah chapter 9, when Zechariah prophesied 500 years before Christ, God issued a call to worship that would be answered ultimately on that Palm Sunday and echoed in the worship of the church throughout the generations and indeed the worship of heaven. But he issued a call to worship. Normally when I stand in the pulpit and issue a call to worship, you immediately respond. This was a call to worship that was issued 500 years before its response. What was that call to worship? In Zechariah 9, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Other gospel accounts tell us that this colt had never been ridden. So Jesus' decision to ride this particular colt into Jerusalem not only fulfilled prophecy, it further highlighted his unique authority over the creation he had made and had come to restore. As Henry Ironside put it to Jesus, "It made no difference that this was an unbroken colt. Jesus was the creator, come into his creation as man, and as such, all creatures were subject to him." Yet Jesus' unique authority was equaled by his unique and saving humility and love. He rode into Jerusalem, as Dennis mentioned earlier in his prayer, not on a war horse, but on a donkey, because Jesus is our servant king, who had come not to condemn us, but to save us by offering himself as the atonement for our sins. We heard from that reading that Dennis read from Psalm 118, the bringing of the festal sacrifice to the altar, bound for sacrifice, bound to the altar. Jesus was going to be that festal sacrifice bound for us, ultimately bound to the altar of Calvary for us. He is that servant king who had come to lay down his life for our sins. King Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he entered there knowing that the crown he would wear later that week would be a crown of thorns. That his throne would be a cross. That the robe that he would wear as he sat on that throne would be nothing but our flesh, beaten and torn, and our sin, which he would bear for our salvation. He knew that the loud shouts of Hosanna on Palm Sunday would be replaced with loud cries to crucify him on Good Friday. And I encourage you to come back on Good Friday, because as we sang Hosannas today, we will in unison with the gospel reading on Good Friday shout with the crowds, crucify him, acknowledging that it was our sins that put him there. He knew, as he rode into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, that the disciples into whom he had poured his life over the last 3 years, and whose feet he would wash on Maundy Thursday, would betray him, deny him, and abandon him. He knew that in order to save you and me, he would have to go through the agony of Gethsemane, the trials of corrupt, doctrinaire religionists, mockery, being flogged almost to death, spit on, beaten beyond recognition, crucified, and buried. He knew that he would fulfill the words of Isaiah 50 and verse 6, I offered my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who pull out my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting. He knew that he would fulfill the words of Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? All who see me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death, for dogs encompass me. A company of evildoers encircles me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. And the words of Isaiah 53, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. King Jesus, the Lord of glory, knew what he was getting into. And he went into it anyway because he loves you. And because he knew the Father's love for him, and that his faithful Father would not abandon him to the grave. And he knew his own authority, the authority to lay down his life and take it up again. With that love, that assurance, he entered Jerusalem and Holy Week for us. First, Christ's authority. And in the second place, adoration. The adoration of the crowds. The crowd adored the long-promised king as he rode into Jerusalem that day. They praised him with palm branches, as was the custom when a great ruler would enter the city. Their worship anticipated the worship that St. John saw in Revelation chapter 7. A great multitude that no one can number, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And they called out to him, "Hosanna." Hosanna is the Greek transliteration of a Hebrew phrase taken from Psalm 118 and verse 25, which is translated as "save us." When many in the crowd cried out, "Save us," they were no doubt asking Jesus to save them from the oppression of the Roman government. In other words, their motivations were, perhaps largely, political, cultural, and economic. And those motivations were revealed on Good Friday when they abandoned Jesus, some of them no doubt crying, "Crucify him," when they saw him bound by the Roman authorities rather than winning a victory over them. Jesus bound and beaten and crucified doesn't look like political, cultural, and economic victory. And so he can't be the Messiah we are longing for. But questioning the motives behind their hosannas can only be helpful to us on this Palm Sunday, so long as it leads us to examine the motives behind our own. Not that it is wrong for God's people to ask him to deliver us from corrupt, despotic rulers or the policies they inflict upon us for their own gain. Not that it is wrong to ask the Lord to save us from economic oppression or military threat or a hostile, corrosive culture. Think of the Israelites in Egypt groaning to God, in essence crying, "Hosanna!" And how God delivered them from the tyranny of Pharaoh and the pagan culture he led. But our hosannas must go deeper than that, or should we say higher than that? Hosannas in the highest. That is, our hosannas must not only be for temporal or secular salvations, but for eternal and heavenly salvation. Our hosannas must go up to heaven, asking that our greatest need be met. Our need for Jesus to deal with our hearts. Our hearts, our individual hearts, by his saving, forgiving, transforming grace. Our hosannas must be made in childlike faith, as the children who made them on that first Palm Sunday, with humility, asking God to deliver us from Satan's power. Not just the powers of earthly authorities. We need a bigger deliverance than that. We need deliverance from Satan's power to set us free, to love, forgive, and serve as Christ went into Jerusalem to love, forgive, and serve. Our hosannas can't just contemplate the triumph of Palm Sunday. There's something in me, at least, that just kind of wants to quit with Palm Sunday. Jesus, triumphant. This is the beginning of Holy Week. Our hosannas have to continue to walk with Jesus. On the road to Calvary, our hosannas must include the rest of Passion Week. The humility to surrender to God's will, to serve the proud and ungrateful, to forgive enemies and die to self. Our hosannas must include a crucified Savior because our salvation requires it. Our transformation from sin and self requires it. That we bow with Jesus in Gethsemane and say, "Not my will, but your will be done." That we get on our knees with him and wash feet. That we take up our cross and follow after him. So, with hosannas for that salvation, let us come to him, knowing that he loves to receive us when we come. Let us come to him, not seeking to clean ourselves up in order to come to him. Let us remember it is this meal that he uses to apply his shed blood that cleanses our consciences from dead works to serve the living God. Let us come to him to receive his grace through his crucified body and precious blood as we feast upon him by faith. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.